In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Or as in our translation says, help my trust. Oftentimes when this gospel is read, since it's the stop reading for the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, the focus gets placed on the admonition to the apostles. This kind can only be driven out by prayer. Or as our lectionary translation uses, or as our lectionary translations, or as some translations may say, by prayer and fasting. It's a reminder to all of us that proper spiritual, it's a reminder to all of us that the proper spiritual, well-balanced breakfast we must eat before doing any of the Lord's work. Prayer and fasting. And as we read in other writings, these two are often joined by the third component of almsgiving. But I want to go back a little earlier, and that's the anguish of this poor man with the afflicted son. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This poor man, you read this gospel a few times, and you can just feel the pain. His son has been like this virtually his entire life. How many burns they must have nursed. How many almost drownings they must have prevented. These symptoms, resembling a lot like what we would call today a seizure disorder, like epilepsy, have driven this man and possibly his entire family to their wits' end. Who knows how many doctors he has brought this kid to see? He's even brought his son to the apostles, who've been known to heal people, and no avail. So he tries again. Imagine your own kids. You've taken them to doctor after doctor, pursued cure after cure, and even those who are experts and with good reputation, and nothing. Finally, he brings the child to the rabbi. Teacher, if you can do something, I've tried everything, I've been everywhere, I've spent everything, nothing's going to work. Go ahead and try anyway. I know it's not going to work, but go ahead. But this isn't just any rabbi. This isn't just any man. This isn't just any physician. Instead, it's the physician of physicians, the healer of souls and bodies. And what does Jesus say? He repeats the man's doubt, if you can. If. Now, prior to the suspension of parish activities here, my good friend Deacon James has been running an adult ed on the prophet Jeremiah for several weeks. And interestingly, Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. I encourage you to come to his classes once things return to normal, find out more of who Jeremiah was and to learn his message. But jokes aside, what does Jeremiah have to say? In Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, my Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth for your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Nothing is impossible. There are no barriers to the Lord's power. He'll flat out say it a little later in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, "All things are possible for God." But faith, with true faith and belief, the doors may be opened to receive the benefits of his power. And that is what he tells the man. Everything is possible to the man who has faith, to the man who trusts. And the man breaks down, "I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my trust. My lack of trust." We often get this way, don't we? Get down in the dumps, spiritually, physically, emotionally. These feelings of despair. These subliminal whispers in our ear that everything stinks, there's no end to the misery, nothing can go right, we're all doomed. The coronavirus stuff right now may have us feeling this way. There are many calls right now from our leaders to say a prayer, say a prayer. Last Sunday, President Trump asked it to be a national day of prayer. And all over social media, we have these calls for prayer. And I had people texting me which saints they should pray to. And everyone's telling us to deepen our prayer lives. Now, my question is, are these calls for you and me and others to pray, are they helping or hurting? And if they're hurting, why? Chew on that a minute. Is prayer a tool of last resort or a first resort? If someone says the only thing we can do now is pray, it's often viewed as a bad thing, and it shouldn't be. O Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do you believe in the power of prayer or not? Do you believe in the power of Jesus Christ or not? But this prayer needs to be accompanied with faith. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. What does it say in the book of James? The prayer of a just man avails much. O Lord, if you can. The fourth Sunday of Lent is dedicated to St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus. Climacus is the Greek word ladder, which has its word origin in the word climax, the scale, or where we say in modern English, to climb, to reach a high point. Now, St. John was a monk in the 6th and 7th century, and like the farmer's insurance commercial, he knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. He writes about his experiences in the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and it was written as a guide for the desert monks to guide them to a deeper faith. That's a handbook for the practice of asceticism, deeper life, or holiness. Now, St. John eloquently takes a look at this path and divides his narrative across 30 steps, with each step about mastering what the Eastern Fathers refer to as the passions, these primal urges, these feelings that, if unharnessed, leads us to sin, but if properly honed and focused, leads us to virtue. And he personifies these vices as demons, the demons of vanity, vainglory, gluttony, sloth, despondency. Across these 30 steps, this master storyteller shares stories about personal experiences with the battle of these demons. Now, how do I look all these together? The Stichura of the Wednesday Presanctified Liturgy, the Liturgy of St. Gregory, says, "The fast which brings blessings has now run half its course. It is pleased with the days which is past and proposes profit in those still to come. Striving for virtue produces even more good deeds. Therefore, let Christ, the giver of all good gifts, be pleased to hear our cry. You fasted and endured the cross for us. Allow us to partake of your divine Pascha blamelessly and to pass our lives in peace, properly praising you together with the Father and the Spirit." The Stichura presumes all is well. We're doing good. We're keeping the fast perfectly and without blame, right? We haven't thought about that juicy, delicious, meaty hamburger, that nice, cold, hoppy IPA. No. Lord, I have kept all commandments. What more must I do to be saved? Well, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, the second Stichura of Mid-Lent Presanctified says, "Let us complete the fast without putting on a gloomy face." Now, there's a lot of gloomy faces out there right now. Probably because all we see on the TV is that with the current crisis, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Churches are closed, mandatory social distancing, toilet paper shortages. But remember, Jesus Christ will see us through this. God always wins. My point right now is not to dismiss or diminish the virulence of the coronavirus, and quite frankly, any of the nasty flu bugs that are going along around right now. What I am saying is, don't let this news be a detractor from your Lenten journey. Don't let this time pull you away from Christ. Yes, wash your hands. Be cautious like you should be every flu season. But that's not the point. In the latter, St. John is always writing of these demons who are here to detract us, to pull us away from God, to pull us away from our faith. And this Lent, a time of spiritual preparation, as we are trying to draw nearer to him, this event is just piling on with the usual demons we fight that pull us away this season. Today has enough troubles as it is, as our Lord says. Our Lenten journey has enough obstacles as it is. Don't let coronavirus be another one. We have a tough enough time trying to follow Christ as it is. Don't despair. Don't fall into despondency. Don't fall prey to the panic. Be cautious, yes, but be aware. Be awake. Now, during this trying time with our routines and our lives severely disrupted, it's going to severely throw off our Lenten year, or even our overall spiritual year. St. John says in the latter, "Do not be surprised that you fall every day, but do not give up, but stand your ground courageously, and assuredly the angel who guards you will honor your patience." So what it means is that this event is going to trip us up, but get back up And when you do, though, don't measure your success by congratulating yourself about how many days since the last time you did that something. Now, Father Stephen Freeman, Orthodox priest not far from us up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, he says this in some writings about the Fourth Sunday and about John Climacus. He says, we simply are not saved by getting better. It's a false image and a false goal. Everyone should at all times struggle against sin. But measuring, even watching for improvement, can not only be self-defeating, but sinful in itself. He quotes St. John Climacus from the fourth book of the latter, the chapter on obedience. He says, you cannot escape shame except by shame. Father Stephen says, we do not gradually improve, thereby leave our shame behind us. The way down is the way up. The ladder of divine ascent is actually a ladder of divine descent. The path to union with God is only found in making the descent deliberate. Now, in our prayer to St. Ephrem during Lent, we cry out, let me see my own sins and not judge my brothers and sisters. Father Stephen Freeman is right. We do not gradually improve and leave the shame behind us. That failure is what will build our character and strengthen our belief. In Psalm 50, which is deacons recite as we incense this holy temple, we pray, my offenses truly I know them, my sins are always before me. But that does not mean that we dwell on and put on the gloomy face. And as I shamelessly steal some more from Father Stephen's writing, he says, when I acknowledge my failure and refuse to hide from its shame, we can all cry out to Christ to comfort us. Father Stephen continues, he will meet us in our shame and take it upon himself. St. Paul says, my failure becomes the failure of God. It does not separate me from Christ, but ironically, it unites me to him, the paradox that is the very heart of our salvation. Father Stephen Freeman. God does not simply wait for us at the 30th rung of John's ladder. He is also with us at the bottom of it. He both steadies the ladder and climbs it with us. He both shouts at us with encouragement from the top, beckoning us to him, and he shouts at us from below, urging us on upward. He reaches out to pull us to the next rung, as well as pushing us from the rung below. So what now? Well, first we wash our hands with warm soapy water for a minimum of 20 seconds, which, by the way, we can make into a prayer. In the time doctors say is needed for a good hand wash, is about the same amount of time it takes to say the Our Father or the prayer to the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Kingdom. But after washing our hands, we will put on the armor of God and get back in the fight. We stand firm with the belt of truth around the waist, the breastplate of righteousness on our chest. We take up the shield of faith, we don the helmet of salvation, and we arm ourselves with the sword of truth, the gospel. And if we have a can of Lysol, we bring that along with us. Some demons can only be expelled by prayer and fasting. So reads today's gospel. Second, Sakira says, don't put on a gloomy face. Let us pray in the inner room of our soul. Prayer, as St. John says in chapter 15 of the latter, if we need to, pray even bodily, stretch out our hands, strike our breast, raise our eyes heavenward, take deep sighs, prostrate ourselves constantly. And if we can't do this physically, then yes, to the inner room of our soul. And lifting the eyes of our soul heavenward and standing still with our arms outstretched in the shape of a cross, St. John Climacus says we can conquer the Amalek of our souls. St. John continues, don't bother with elegant and clever words. Just speak humbly, beginning with, have mercy on me, for I am weak. And then St. John says, we will come to experience the power of the Most High, and with help from heaven, we will drive off our invisible foes. St. John Climacus, praise God.